Well, good afternoon, brethren, those on the web. I wanted to do something a little bit different today. And I was thinking about this, and I was looking at Ephesians, and there's just a huge message in there, I think. I'd like to, for the next few minutes, I'd like to do a review of our calling, why we're here, how we got here, and what our future is. Now, many of you have been around a long time, and like my wife and I, we've been in God's church for over 48 years. And we've seen things that it seemed like people have their own view about things, and bottom line is they're no longer with us. Now, years ago, Mr. Armstrong used to make a statement. You would hear it from time to time, and he would say, "Stay close to the trunk of the tree. Don't get out on the branches, the little twigs. You're liable to fall off or fall away." For those of us that's been baptized, I like to look and focus on our foundation for a bit. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I was given a sermonette, and I mentioned that there's a lot of people that believe in God, but they don't necessarily believe God. For an example, one guy that I was working with asked me one time about why I kept Saturday as a Sabbath. And I said, "I've got a booklet that covers that better than I can explain it. I'll loan it to you, just don't tear it up and throw it away." He said, "Okay." So I give it to him, and about a week later, he gave it back to me, and he says, "Well, I can agree with this and this and this, but I can't agree with that." I said, "Well, that's the difference. I agree with all of it." Now, I'm just going to give you three scriptures for a foundation. And the first one, if you'll turn to Titus, first chapter, second verse, makes a statement. Well, I've got the wrong scripture down. But basically, Titus is telling us that God cannot lie. You can find that in several places in the Bible, that God does not lie. He will not lie, and we can count on that. There's another one in Hebrews 6, chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, which states that God cannot lie. The second point of that foundation is in 2 Timothy 3:16. And most of these, you're already grounded in, you've heard them. You know that what it's saying. And this is just a review. Sometimes it doesn't harm at all to take a look at what you already know, reacquaint yourself with it, review it, help it right in your memory. And 2 Timothy brings another point. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Again, you already know this, but just as a review. It states, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." So all of the Bible is given by God's inspiration, and he can't lie. And the third point on this is in Revelation. Actually, Revelation 22. And it's a warning that we need to really take serious, so does anybody else. Revelation 22:18 states, "For I testify unto every man that hears the word of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add to these things, God will add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book, of the prophecy, God will take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." So that gives a lot of seriousness to this. And we've had incidents where people has tried to add or diminish some of God's word. Other, you know, I mean, we can find that in certain translations. So that's kind of like a foundation that we have to stand on. These things we can count on. And I'm sure you've heard of it. God's ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our ways. And this foundation is really above the average people. And God called us, drew us to Christ, and with Christ's teaching and the help of the Holy Spirit, we were given access to the Holy Spirit and learning things and deciding things and realized this is really important and we need to be a part of it. At that point, we had to make a commitment, a lifelong commitment for baptism, where we not only made that commitment, we were baptized, hands were laid on us, and we were given the Holy Spirit. And in an analogy, you might want to think of, here's this platform that I just described, the three verses, four verses. And this is God's platform. This is like that tree that you've got to stay close to. And when you're on this platform, you're overlooking everybody else. You're sitting up there as an example. Now, I'm going to speak about myself. I won't pick on anybody else, but people that's known me for years know that I wasn't always the best. You know, I had a lot of faults. And they can remember those things. And God has worked with me. He's forgiven me. I've made changes. God made changes in my life. And I've had people say that you're different. I like you better. The thing is that happens to all of us. And if you think of yourself as being on that platform, and here you are above the rest of the world, God is using you as an example. And here we stand coming out of that muck and mire, all of the rest of the world, and Christ is cleaning us up. And as he's cleaning us up, you notice that there's a light. We begin to shine. We're supposed to be the light of the world, and it's beginning to come through. Now, I've asked, and I've heard a lot of people ask is, why me? Why would God choose someone like me? And I think we've all thought that sooner or later. I don't know why, but I had never noticed it before. But Ephesians answered that. If you look at Ephesians in the first chapter, beginning in verse 1, it's an introduction from Paul. And he's talking to the people in Ephesus. But it applies to us too. And this is like an introduction to what is in store for us. An introduction, Paul says, from Paul, who, by God's will, is an apostle of Christ Jesus, to God's people in Ephesus, which also applies to us here, who are faithful in their life and union with Christ. May God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ give you peace and grace. Now, in verse 3 is something to think about. It said, let us give thanks to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for in our union with Christ, he has blessed us with everything spiritual, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly world. You ever think about that? Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm is available to us. Now, I think one of the things I'd like to emphasize here is, I think it's really important for us to take a little time away from the phone, away from others, anything that would distract you, and just think about God, what he has to say, and meditate on it, and just think about how it applies, how we grow, how we got where we are. Because the more you think about it, the deeper it gets. And I think it does a lot to help us understand why we're here, how we got here, and where we're going. Now, in verse 4 of Ephesians 1, it says, even before the world was made, which happens to be a long time ago, God had already chosen us to be his through our union with Christ so that we would be holy and without fault before him because of his love. God had already decided that through Jesus Christ, he would make us his children. And get this. This was his pleasure and purpose. It wasn't because of us. It was because of his pleasure and purpose that we're here. Now, every one of us have got colorful past in some way or another. I mean, we've all sinned. And when you think about God calling us before the foundation of the earth, I have to admit that that's a little over my head. Because I was looking into that a little bit. And I said, how does God call from so far in the past today? And in looking at that, I looked at Wikipedia about the earth. Now, this is a statement that Wikipedia makes. And again, it boggles my mind a little bit. Wikipedia says, Earth, it is a third planet from the sun and the only astronomical object known to harbor life. According to radiometric dating, which I'm not familiar with, and other sources of evidence, Earth formed over 4.5 billion years ago. And before that ever happened, God selected us. Now, I can guess how he might have done it, but that really boggles my mind. 4.5 billion years ago, before that, God selected you and I. And I can't help but think about in Exodus, when Moses and the children of Israel was out in the wilderness and they were building the temple. If you remember, God gave people special abilities to do things. It wasn't that they themselves had that ability to begin with. God gave that to them. The same with us. I mean, if you stop and you think about what our future is not just now. It's overcoming and being changed into spirit beings to be like the Father and Christ, and to be leaders in God's kingdom. How do you get anything greater than that? Now, we've all, parents, had children, and we love them, and we want the best for them, and we nurture them, and, you know, they're special. Well, if you look at that same regard with God, I think that it goes without saying that God has a very special place for us. We're very special to him. And that in all of this, he wants the very best for us. And you look at people that we know that are going through difficult times. And God has a way of doing things, and there's a purpose for everything under the heavens. And I can't tell you why, like, for example, people have health issues or other issues that they have to deal with. But God knows, and at the end, it'll be revealed, and there's a purpose for it, and it'll be a good purpose. We may not understand it now, but again, we got to have that trust and that faith. Now, in verse 7 of Ephesus, or Ephesians rather, it says, "For by the blood of Christ we are set free." That is, our sins are forgiven. Now, I can't help but think if we were standing on that platform that God is drawing us to and Christ is teaching us and cleaning us up, and we're on that platform, and you got all this muck and mire from civilization over you, and Christ is wiping that off, and as he wipes that off, you begin to see a glow and a light that's underneath. And it's coming from God's will. We are to be an example in our everyday life, how we treat one another, how we conduct ourselves, how we talk to one another. We're to be an example. We are an example. You can have a bad example as well as a good one. But I think it's so important when you stop and you think about all of this. I can't think of anything that I have ever heard of or experienced that's more important than this. Not only is our sins forgiven, it states, "How great is the grace of God, which he gave to us in such large measure, in all his wisdom and insight. God did what he proposed and made known to us the secret plan he had already decided to complete by means of Christ. With the help of the Holy Spirit in Christ, we have an understanding that the vast majority of the world just doesn't have at this time. They will have it, but not right now." Again, the plan of God, which is beyond, you try to explain that to somebody that doesn't have God's Spirit, and it just makes no sense at all. He said, "This plan which God will complete when the time is right is to bring all creation together, everything in heaven and on earth, with Christ as the head. All things are done according to God's plan and decision. And God chose us to be his own people in union with Christ because of his own purpose, not us. Based on what he had decided from the very beginning." So if you stop and you think about it, the only really decision we had in this calling is whether to accept it or not, and to stay loyal to it. We have our part. As a free moral agent, we can walk away if that's what you... I just can't expect anybody to do that, but it has happened. In Ephesians 1:12, it continues and says, "Let us, then, who were the first to hope in Christ, praise God's glory." That's why we're on that platform. That's why all the rest of the world is looking up to us in a way. It's not because we're great. It's because God has put us there, and he has a purpose for us. And we submit to that purpose, and he cleans us up, and we start walking and following God's ways. Now, I mean, we've got little children here, and you look at them, and they're like their parents, and they're curious about this, that, and everything else, but they're the image of their parents. We're to be the image of Christ and the Father in that kingdom. And I'm sorry, but I'm just amazed that God has such a great plan, and I'm part of it, just as you are. In Ephesians 1:13, it continues and says, "And you also became God's people when you heard the true message, the good news that brought you salvation. You believed in Christ, and God put his stamp of ownership on you by giving you the Holy Spirit he had promised." That Holy Spirit is a seal and a stamp of approval. And it's so important that we take care of that. The Spirit is the guarantee that we shall receive what God has promised his people, And this assures us that God will give complete freedom to those who are His. These are tremendous promises. We live in a world where there's so much deception and you don't know who to trust and who to count on. But these are God's. We can count on them. And as we begin, it is a foundation. God cannot lie. This is His purpose. It has nothing to do with whether we were rich, poor, handsome, wise, whatever. It had nothing to do with our calling. This was God's choice. And just like the people that was building the temple in the wilderness, God gives us ability. He forms us and fashions us into what He wants. We just have to be willing to submit. Part of that is to be humble. And it's easy to start thinking too highly of yourself if you don't watch out. I think that this is, without a doubt, the most amazing thing that we are part of. And it wasn't because we chose God. It's because He chose us. So with that in mind, I hope that this gives you food for thought and to consider and to realize that just like a father or mother over their children, they want the best for them. God wants the best for us. He has a plan for us. And if we do our part, it's a guarantee it's going to lock in. But we have our part to do in this. We have to be submissive and develop God's character. So anyway, I think it's important to review from time to time, to consider. And I know my wife says I stop and think too much, but I think there's a reason, you know. So with that, I'm going to end this, and I will let somebody else take over.